And let me tell you about a gentleman that was so determined to spread the gospel that he gave his life for it. Turn to Acts chapter 7. I didn't mean to get it so quiet in here. If it's too quiet, you can smell that musty smell. I got to get you active. Let's see. Do I want to... So, you know, the premise of this here that I want to share in Acts chapter 7, and I'm really going to back up to chapter 6, is about Stephen. It's about Stephen, and this Acts 7 is one of my favorite discourses in the Bible, and Stephen gives this discourse, and really it's a tremendous summary of the history of the Jewish nation, very condensed. But to set the stage here, let me back up to 6. Let me just start in chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Now about," and I'm going to read out of the Amplified here, I think. "Now about this time, when the number of the disciples was greatly increasing, complaint was made by the Hellenists against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked and neglected in the daily ministration, the distribution of relief. So the 12 apostles convened in the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not seemingly or desirable or right that we should have to give up or neglect preaching the word of God in order to attend to serving at tables and superintending the distribution of the food. Therefore, select out from among yourselves, brethren, 7 men of good and attested character and repute, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom you may assign and look after this business and duty. But we will continue to devote ourselves steadfastly to prayer and the ministry of the word.' And the suggestion pleased the whole assembly, and they selected Stephen, a man full of faith." What was he? Full of faith. "A strong and welcome belief that Jesus is the Messiah, and full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit." Full of what? The Holy Spirit. Full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. "And Philip and these other 4 men, or 5, I should say, from Antioch." Let's see here. So we get the picture, right? The ministration, the duties, the Christians of that time, the disciples are growing in great numbers, and they're not able to attend to some of the widows there. And so they're appointing these 7 to do that so that the apostles could devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word, right? And so they choose Stephen. So what is he doing? He's chosen to wait tables. This is a man full of faith, chosen to wait tables. And so, as we read down, let me pick it up in let me just paraphrase what's going on here. So he's ministering, he's doing wonders and signs, and where is he doing it? He's doing it amongst the people. He's going out and performing signs, wonders, and miracles amongst the people. Stephen, a man chosen to wait tables, but was full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. He's going out and performing these signs, wonders, and miracles among the people. And guess what? Some of the people, they're getting jealous. And so they arrest him, basically, and imprison him, and bring him before the council. And here we pick it up on verse 1 in the chapter 7. It says, "The high priest asked Stephen, 'Are these charges true?' And he answered, 'Brethren and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our forefather Abraham when he was still in Mesopotamia before he went to live in Haran. And he said to him, "Leave your own country and your relatives and come into the land that I will point out to you. And I'm not going to read this for time's sake, but as we go on down through this, he gives a history of the Jewish nation, right? Starting with Abraham, talks about Isaac and Jacob, and then it brings it on home to Jesus, right? And he tells them, this is the Jesus whom you crucified and killed. And it pricked their hearts. It convicted them so badly that they wanted him dead. Stephen gladly gave his life to preach the gospel. And they did. They killed Stephen for his faith. Killed him for his faith. But you know what it did? It set on fire a man named Saul. Because Saul was there at Stephen's death. He was holding the clothes of those that were killing him. And it set Saul, whom we know as Paul, after his conversion, on fire. And he went about terrorizing the church, the Christians of that day. But you know what else it did? It set someone else on fire. It set Philip on fire. And Philip was a fellow table waiter with Stephen. And if you read on down through there, Philip went down to Samaria and was performing signs and wonders and miracles and changed an entire town. In fact, he was doing so much good down there. There was a sorcerer down there, Simon the sorcerer, who had bewitched the people, and he had made them to think that he was something big. By delusion, by bewitching them. And he got converted. But then he said, he saw when the apostles came down to Samaria to see if what was going on was legit, right? They wanted to see what was going on, what Philip was doing down there. And they went down there and they talked to the people. Have you received the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit? People said, we don't even know about the Holy Spirit. All those signs, wonders, and miracles were happening prior to the introduction of the Holy Spirit. But when the apostles came down there, they said, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, we don't know about the Holy Spirit. So the apostles laid hands on them. And they received the power of the Holy Spirit. So much was happening with that. I think, conjecture that we believe that the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So I can only imagine that these people become tongue talkers real quick. And this Simon the sorcerer is like, whoa. He's like, give me that power. I want that power. How much money can I pay to get that power? And of course, the apostles say, you can't buy this. But it set on fire people. Why? To minister the gospel, to create these, to have signs and wonders and miracles. Why? Why are signs, wonders, are they for right here inside this building? Can they happen in here? Yes. And we celebrate them when they do. But I don't believe that was the first and foremost reason for them. It was to go out to the unbelievers as a sign to unbelievers of the truth of the gospel. And I believe in these last days, and if you've come to the Revelation class, you understand we are in the last days. I believe in these last days that we're going to see an outpouring of signs, wonders, and miracles. But not among ourselves as born-again believers and Christians. We are going to be performing those out amongst unbelievers to bring them in and make them believers. That's what we're called to do. What did Jesus do when he was on the earth? Did he perform signs, wonders, and miracles? Did he, everywhere he went? Did he heal them all? Did he say, go and do likewise? Did he say that even greater works you will do? Because I go to the Father? That commission has not changed for us. Somewhere along the line in churchology, doubt and unbelief has crept in and we've become content coming here on Sundays and sitting without going and doing. Now there's nothing wrong with coming on Sundays and sitting as long as you're going and doing. And man, I didn't mean to go here today. But we're led by the Spirit and I want to be led by the Spirit, and I think people need to hear this and we need to be encouraged in it. I think the more you hear it, the more faith comes. And we need to hear and hear and hear that we need to be going and going and going. And like I said in the beginning, that looks different for each of us. We're all not, you know, we're all not comfortable approaching someone in the Walmart. But you all work with people and conversations happen just by conversations happening. And I believe it would be very easy just to lead the conversation in a certain direction. All of us can do that. All of us can invite someone to church. If you're not comfortable, invite someone to church. You don't want to invite them on a day like today, maybe. No. But I believe we all need to be encouraged to continue to fulfill the mission that Christ gave to us. And that is go and preach the gospel. It's simple, guys. It's simple. But in order for us to do that, I understand, we need to build our faith up. And that's what coming on Sundays does. That's what coming on Wednesdays does. That's what reading your word at night, in the morning, whenever you do. That's when fellowshipping with the Father at morning, night, whenever you do. That builds you up to do the work of the ministry. Amen? And I'm passionate about it because I want to see it being done. And I want people coming in here on Sundays and saying, "Todd, man, let me tell you about this person I met and what happened, what transpired in that conversation. And, you know, I prayed for this person and this happened." Ah, man, I want to hear that. I mean, that builds me up and it builds you up. And it builds all of us up when someone comes in and gives a testimony, a praise report about something that they were involved in or even heard about or witnessed. That's the encouragement that we all need. That's the encouragement. John 14:12. Greater works we're to be doing. I mean, Jesus introduced people to God every day. Every day, everywhere he went. Everywhere he went. I don't know that in today's modern society that we can fathom doing that every day, everywhere we go. I don't know. But I'm telling you, there's a time where there's going to be a great falling away before the second coming of Jesus. There's going to be a great apostasy. There is a Laodicean church around and among us that is going to be spewed out of his mouth. There is a place where the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. I don't want to be one of those in that place. And I hope you don't either. So what do we need to do? Go deeper. Dive in. Go deeper with God. And let Him show you things. Let the Holy Spirit show. Look, it's not in and of yourself. I say this all the time. It's not you. It's not inside of you. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you. Doing the work. Taking you to places. Judy ministering to people she would have never fathomed that she would get the opportunity to minister to. I've got picture proof of her standing with these five young men. Acapella country gospel singers. World renowned. And there's Judy right in the middle of them, man. Talking faith. Preaching Jesus to them as best she can. Making a difference, I believe. That's just one example. I'm sure we all have stories that we could tell. I'd love to hear them. Because like I said, it encourages me. And I believe it would encourage others. Amen. Amen. Oh boy, are y'all encouraged today?
Yes.
None of that is in these notes. Some of it, not any of it, hardly. The first part of it. But I just sensed that we really need to focus in on what's important in this day and age. And listen, I'm not saying quit your jobs, get an RV and travel the country preaching. I'm not saying that. You can do it right where you're at. Right in what you're doing right now. I think we just need to be a little more active for the kingdom. A little bit more on fire for the things of God. A little bit more confident in who we are. And maybe it boils down to that. I don't know. Confident in who we are in Christ. Confident in who we are. I believe you. We all love Jesus. I don't think that's questioned. It's not about our love for Christ. I believe it is about our love for our fellow man. Do we love them enough to lay down our life, put aside our desires, put aside our fears, our holdups, to share something with them? Are we? That's all. Because God is good. And He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And I believe if you will diligently seek Him and go deeper with Him, He will reward you with the desires of your heart, with your gift exploding. And that gift exploding can only help the body as a whole. If you're not operating in your gift, we don't get to benefit as a body, as a whole. In fact, it's like part of the body missing. It's like me trying to... That's not a good analogy. I was going to say try to drive a car with one hand, but I do that. In fact, I got on to my 15-year-old son for doing that. He's got his learners, and he was trying to be all... Like, boy, you better get two hands on that wheel until you learn how to drive like me, and then you can go with the one hand. And then he tries to, but if you got to shift gears, but you ain't got a stick shift, Jack. You got that automatic, so you two hands on the wheel. He's back in the back, so I can talk about it. In the booth, I mean, not in the back. I don't know. Where are we at? Where are we at, Reggie?
Enjoying the Lord.
Enjoying the Lord.
And the Lord's word. driving the corner. Now you didn't. That's all y'all gonna remember when you go home. Driving the car one-handed. Man, I love y'all. I love God. I love His Son Jesus so much. I want to see the world changed. I want to do my part. I mean, there in a day that goes by that somehow I feel like I'm falling down. So I know, I can only imagine that you experience the same thing sometimes. And I need you guys. We need each other. We need to be encouraging one another. This is how you'll be known, your love for one another. And I know it's hard in this day. I mean, I haven't figured it out. I don't have the perfect formula for how it all works together. I just know it's needed. I know that we need each other. And there are others out there that are needed here. Here at Christian Growth Center, here in the body of Christ. So that it can be whole. Doing the work of the ministry as a whole. There are things that the Holy Spirit wants to accomplish in the New River Valley. And it's almost like I sense, and not that His hands could be tied, but I sense that His hands are tied because not everyone is flowing in their gift. Not everyone's being led by the Spirit and doing that and going. Anyways, me included. Lord, I just pray that Holy Spirit, You would continue to show us. The great grace would be upon us all. And when we fall down and falter, and when we don't think that we're worthy enough or that we've put enough time in or that Your grace is sufficient, Your grace is sufficient. Thank You for Your grace, that great grace. Lord, I pray that You would show each person here today something that they can tweak or change or develop or increase in. To have that intimate fellowship with You. And as we fellowship more intimately with You, I believe the vision for our life, I believe that we will line up with our assignment. And as we do that, things will start to happen in this earth. Things will start to happen in this New River Valley. Things will start to happen at Christian Growth Center. And we'll become that epicenter, that beacon. That place that people will look to and say, something is going on there. And I want what's going on there. And let it be all Jesus. All Jesus. So encourage us today. As we call this day today. Encourage us. To go deeper with You. Encourage us in our walk with one another, our love walk with one another. Encourage us in this. So that we can lift up our brothers and sisters and help them, labor alongside of them, edify them, lift them up in their time of need, and they'll be there to lift us up in our time of need. So Lord, I thank You for every person in this room under the sound of my voice that you are speaking to them and that they are listening. They have listening ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And not only are they hearers, but they are doers. Doers of the Word. Each and every day, let us be doers of the Word. Let us do the work of the ministry. Let us do greater works even than Jesus did on this earth. The Son of God. The Lamb without blemish. The King of kings. The Lord of lords. Let us do the work. Let us be the light. Let us salt the earth as you've called us to do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, glory be to God. I think He's showing us some things. I think if we will press in as a body, as a corporate body, I believe if we press in individually and as a corporate body, there is nothing that we can't accomplish. Right? Nothing is impossible. But I want all of us to do that. And I hope we are. I hope we are every day. And don't get into condemnation. Don't do that. His grace is sufficient. Just seek. Seek the Lord. Seek His face. Hear His voice. And then do what He says. Be obedient. Amen? Amen. Well, before we leave, I want to give you opportunity to sow your financial seed, your tithes and your offerings. And we thank you for this time. We thank you that this is a time that we can sow into the kingdom. We have a missions bowl up here. Every dollar that goes in there goes straight to missions. I want to tell you about one work of mission that is going on that you sowed into as a congregation that Nikki and I have sown into personally. And you've met them, those that were here when Keith Tully came and spoke. Keith and Trish Tully, they're missionaries for family life. They minister specifically to married couples. And he's been here and ministered. We've been associated with them for years and years now. Been to several of the Weekend to Remember conferences. But their son, Jacob, is and forgive me, the first time he went to Indonesia, I think he went back to Indonesia. I was reading a report from him. But this is where your seed is going. As you sow into missions, you're participating in what this young man is doing in Indonesia. And he was saying how he was on a boat. They were going down a river, and they were going to an unreached people group. An unreached people group. They had seen already blind eyes opened as they were ministering along the way. They had seen a crippled woman that couldn't walk, get up and start walking. And his last time that he was in Indonesia, I don't know if I shared this or not, he got to minister to a chief of a village of a previously unreached people group. And that chief received the Lord. This was a group, now, as he was, and I'm recollecting as best I can what he shared about it. This was a village group where he was, so they were traveling to try to find this tribe. I'll call it a tribe if it's not called a tribe, village. And the people that he would come across asking him, you don't want to go there. They're cannibals. I mean, this was the perception of this group still in the earth today. I know y'all living here in Christiansburg, Virginia, can't believe that there are cannibals still living alive on the earth, but there are. And so they would say, "You don't know. There are people that go in there and don't come back." But they went. Jacob Tully, I think he's 20. No, he's still in college. Maybe 18, 19. Going with his group, went to this unreached people group, got to sit down with the chief And the chief received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Now, can you imagine the chief receiving, and now that whole village is going to be changed? Because one young man answered the call of God, went to an unreached people group, shared the gospel. How much more can we do right where we are? Right where we are. There's so much to be done right where we are. We don't have to cross the waters. We can do it right here.